Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting, broadcasting, broadcasting to the world. Broadcasting to the world, to the world, to the world.
BlakeRadio.com. Music for your mind, body, and soul. Talk radio at its best. You're listening to Rainbow Soul from BlakeRadio.com.
Welcome to another edition of Neil Blake Online here on Rainbow Soul. As always, it feels good to be here with you. The late, great Grover Washington Jr. once said of my guest, Miles J., that he stands out as someone who always looks for a new musical direction. And George Duke commented that, well, you know, this guy, he can do it all. And the late, great Teddy Pendergrass said, Miles is one of the best all-around vocalists that I've heard. Miles J. is my guest tonight. We'll be right back. Stay with me.
Now today we're not
I got to tell you, this brother has been missed by a lot of folks. I sent out a blast today, and I was getting OMGs. Oh, my God, Miles J, where is he at? All kinds of stuff. You know, I had one sister, a good friend of mine. She emailed me back. Yeah, I remember him from LIU, up close in person. Me and his brother go way back. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to Mr. Miles J. Welcome to the program.
Hey, Neil. How are you, good brother? How are you, man?
I am doing so good. It's good to have you here.
This is wonderful. How long have we been trying to make this happen?
It's been a minute now. It's been a minute. But we finally caught up. You know, as I believe, all things happen for a reason in time. And in
the correct time, in the proper time.
Exactly. And you have a new project coming out, so this is perfect for us right now. I like to take my listeners on a trip back down memory lane. The BlakeRadio.com listeners always hear your music on our sister channel, Music Massage. They love your music. We play classic Miles J. So let's give them a little snapshot into your life. And why don't you start at the very beginning of how this all started? Where did you grow up? Where are you from?
Well, wait a minute. In doing so, we are really getting recruited. You can't just mention LIU and then go into your professional stick. You know, I mean, you've got it. You're on point now, don't you? Know, you're about as professional as it gets. But, you know, part of this has got to be me and Neil, like, getting reacquainted. How are you, man?
I'm doing good. Yeah.
I remember that LIU gig, man, and the cats that were on that gig. And Ronnie was on guitar. And listen, here's a funny thing. I remember I had on a pair of red shoes that I had made in Korea. You know, I was so proud of those shoes. Thank God I lost them somewhere along the way. But this is coming full circle. In fact, the new CD is entitled Atenergy, okay?
Excellent.
But if I had caused to name it something else, I would have called it Full Circle.
Nice,
because it's returning to the violin, which you know for me is returning to my roots. And even this discussion is bringing me home, back to Brooklyn, man. That's where it all started for me. That's where all the excitement was for me, borough-wide, junior high school orchestra. And when I was able to participate in New York City-wide high school orchestra and in fact, let me just send regards. I understand Mr. Thompson recently passed away. Mr. Thompson was the director of the Citywide High School Chorus. I was never in a chorus, but we were like sister groups, the orchestra and the chorus, you know. And he was one I just remember. I so admired this brother, you know, that was director of this. We're talking about the New York Citywide High School.
Right.
This is no small deal here. So, you know, just sending love out to all of those who participated, and I know that all the choir members, chorus members, remember Mr. Thompson, I've been getting emails about and they're going to honor him, and they're going to sing in his memory and so on and so forth. But it was that type of, you're asking me to go all the way back. I can go all the way back to PS-161 and Mrs. George. Mrs. George is the first person who planted a violin in my hand. You know, and I mentioned it. This was like the second half of fifth grade. I mentioned it because so many of those programs no longer exist.
Yeah, yeah.
They no longer exist. It wasn't a special program. It wasn't a private school or a parochial school. It was PS-161.
That's right.
Yeah, there were instruments available to us. And some played violin, played viola, some played cello, a flute, or woodwind instruments. But we all remember it, you know. So if I ever, run into someone from back then, or we email back and forth or whatever, PS-161, IS-320, Brooklyn Tech, Brooklyn College. I mean, we all remember those days fondly, and I get something like right now.
Yeah, no, definitely. I went across the, not across the town, but across the other neighborhood in Crown Heights. I went to 241, and my music teacher was Mrs. Nia Bongo. I don't know if you're familiar with her or not.
Oh my God.
And we played the flute.
I went
and
to 241 before I went to 161.
Get out of
so
here.
I
okay.
When I first moved to Yonkers. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
First
wow.
241.
I
don't think anybody remember that up by Eastern Parkway or President Street.
Absolutely. Those were good times for me. I mean, I never ended up becoming a musician, but they had us playing viola. I mean, my fingers used to be bleeding and all that kind of stuff. But it was a good, but like you said, the real deal was that they had a program for children to really explore and see what their talents were, you know. And
correct.
For someone like yourself, it just worked out to be, you know, the right direction for you.
Here's the interesting thing, Neil. Not only do they not have programs in the elementary school, at the elementary school level, but I speak to some of the music directors and chair people of the music departments in HBCUs, for example, and ask if they have, and they don't have string programs.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
And I say, okay, where's the marching band? Oh, yeah, they have their own building or what have you. You know, I mean, of course, because the marching band is a big deal at HBCUs, but it just so bothers me that we overlook the importance of string music, orchestral music, concert music. I mean, it's not foreign to us. That's just as much a part of how we express ourselves as anything else, marching, jazz, gospel, R&B, or whatever. We are identified by anything creative.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just something that I think is definitely, you know, as you said, it's lacking in the schools, and I think that kids need to be able to express themselves through music, because it shows, you know, plenty of people are buying music, kids are always dancing, people are always feeling music, and I know, like, even with my kids, they're not exposed to the instruments the way they used to be, and who knows what they could become, who knows what kind of musician or artist that they could become if they were only exposed to the music and the instruments.
Man, we should talk about the impact and the effect of music. Again, the new CD, well, one of the new CDs, and we'll get back to that. The one that we refer to is Attenergy, and I mentioned to you on the break that Attenergy is a contraction of attention and energy.
Nice.
And it's actually the subject of a new book that I'm working on, but what it does is it brings attention to that very attention deficit. So many cases are being made for not only attention deficit in children, but in adults as well. But, you know, there are statistics that, and, yeah, of course, we have to take certain statistics with a grain of salt, but they're thinking that in children, attention spans can be as little as 8 seconds.
You know,
in adults, 20 minutes is like the average attention span. Well, the interesting thing about music is that it teaches you to hold your attention, to focus, to read those little specks on that piece of paper that don't mean anything to anyone else. Well, all of a sudden, it's a language you understand, you know, and it's training your mind. So if you then jump across to surgeons and attorneys and judges and so on and ask, well, you just had a secretary of state that was a concert pianist. I mean, you'd be surprised how many folks in the medical field, in the professional career paths, started on a musical instrument.
Right, right, absolutely. Because it's discipline, it's focus, it's timing. It makes a child and a person a well-rounded individual, and I think that is kind of lacking right now. Take us back. You started out at all of the schools that you said. You were in some incredible programs. I mean, back then I can remember they was just, you know, incredible teachers. You were surrounded by some incredible dudes. I mean, I know you were in the neighborhood, but I met you through Zane Mark, who's an incredible keyboard player and musical director. That's how we got in touch. You know, the Roy Phillips, all of those people in that circle. So
wow.
it's just you. That's bringing back some memories for you, right? Yeah, yeah.
Wow. That's what he made me say. Zane, Willie Richardson, it was my first band. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
You know, Zane is one of our success stories, you know, in the art, coming from that same kettle, you know, that we were all in and not sure what we were going to be or what have you. But Zane is one of the cats that I can point to and say, there's a brother who mastered this craft. There's a success story in the arts all the way, and in some non-traditional areas, you know, where his career path took him to Broadway and behind the scenes and writing and composing and arranging. And, you know, he's been in front of the camera. He's been Duke Ellington on screen. You know, I mean, so Roy Phillips, oh, my God. All Roy was like a mad scientist.
Absolutely.
Am I right?
You know, he was a genius. Yeah,
he was just brilliant, you know. And interestingly, I can think of cats like Arthur Rames. I'm not sure if you're familiar with Arthur, but anyone that hears that name, it'll immediately make them go, "Oh my God, Arthur!" There's a cat named Carlton from Music Arts High School, and I don't know if I'm just hoping that I throw out some of these names. I know this is national. I know this is worldwide.
Yeah, everybody's going to know the names.
Those of you who are not from Brooklyn, bear with us for a minute while we, you know, while we get reacquainted. But Carlton played tuba.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
And I went to where was I? I was at Saratoga School of Performing Arts. No, that's not true. I said the name incorrectly. Saratoga School of Orchestral Studies. And the Philadelphia Orchestra was in residence under Eugene Ormandy. And I remember that summer was amazing because at one point they had Seiji Ozawa guest up. Seiji Ozawa came out and didn't even say hello. He threw his hands up, that meant instruments up, and I think there's some of us that needed a change of clothes because we were terrified. But that's how intense it was, and the expectations that were that we were ready, we were prepared. But here's what I want to tell you about Carlton, this brother that played tuba. Okay, from Music and Art High School. And, you know, I went to Brooklyn Tech, but I knew Carlton. He went to music. The tubist from the Philadelphia Orchestra, one of the premier orchestras in the world, fell ill. They contracted Carlton to sub for him. That's how bad Carlton was. This is the level of proficiency that we're talking about. Again, brilliant. And I remember this cat because we went and heard the performance, and I could not believe he was a high school student on the stage with the Philadelphia Orchestra, killing. Oh my God! You know, you know, man, all of a sudden I had a new respect for not only Compton but the tuba. You know.
Yeah, yeah, and when you look at Jimmy Richard Fallon Cummings, now, you see the brother in the Roots who's playing tuba.
Oh yeah,
you know?
Brother in the Roots, exactly. Oh, man, oh my God, he would have loved Compton. He would have absolutely.
Yeah.
But I mean, we could just go on and on and on. You mentioned Roy. Let's go up to Efforts Avenue to the Cummings family. I mean, the whole family is talented, you know. But I was in awe of Richard Cummings, you know.
Yeah.
And Richard got me a quick job with John Lucien, and I just watched in his own career. He's music director for everybody from Harry Belafonte to Diane Reeves. We had some cats coming up in the hood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean,
from Brooklyn.
I'm going to stop because, I mean, I could just go down a list and a list and a list, and next thing you know, the hour is up, and there are people in Sweden saying, I don't know anyone.
right.
But,
well, the interesting thing for me, though, Miles, is that, you know, like you mentioned, you know, the tuba, and that's one of the things about you. When I met you, you know, you were playing violin, you know, what you might want to call a jazz violin. You might call it something else, but, you know, from the hood, you never really saw, you know, brothers embracing that instrument in particular. People were into drums and bass and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, because the only person that I knew was Noel Pointer, you know, prior to you, you know, who was really playing that violin like that. So I was always amazed, and that's why I had did that project with you up close in person in the 80s. And even back then, you know, one of the things that I admired about you is that you understood technology even then. You know, you said, look, you know, when I approached you to do this video, you're like, of course we're going to do this video. You know, you understood, you know, the media. You understood that you had to move your vehicle that way and be diversified. And you were very focused then. You were focused, determined. I remember going to your apartment and you had everything set up for us to, you know, to do this interview. And, you know, you blew it out the box. You assembled an incredible, you know, group of musicians. So you were destined, you know, destined to be successful. We don't have a lot of time here. We got maybe about 40 minutes. Take the family down the memory lane real quickly, from the Village People to Phyllis. Try to, you know, give us a little snapshot about that real quick.
Okay. That's actually easy because coming back from the Air Force, okay, so I left Brooklyn College and enlisted in the Air Force. I spent 5 years in the Air Force, and 4.5 of those years I played music. Okay, in the Far East, the South Korea, Thailand, Philippines, Burma, Japan, of course. And, you know, that was a great training ground for me. I mean, academics is wonderful. Campus life is wonderful. And I mean, I'm not just saying that, you know, to be patronizing. It was actually good. There's some cats I met back then, you know, Jalel and Kafaro and Bradley, and, you know, the drum troops and so on and so forth, the singers. And, I mean, Smokey playing the flute, it was crazy. But then getting out there in different parts of the world and seeing a Burmese orchestra up close, you know what I mean?
Taking
music, seeing they respond to Top 40 or Big Band or this and that and the other, and different parts of the world opened my eyes in so many ways. But at the same time, I also got to see some of the nuts and bolts of what it means to set up the operations, how to take a group from one country to another and have someone advance the tour, and do we need 110 bolts, we need 220 bolts. So I started seeing some of the business, some of the behind the scenes aspects of making production work.
Wow.
You know,
wow.
So after coming back from the service, and then you mentioned listen, the Village People. I started playing. Come on, we can't leave out 7th Avenue South. McHale's of the 97th of Columbus. That's where it started.
Yeah.
And I started getting reacquainted with these, even from Brooklyn 10, like Trevor Gale and guys like that. And I went back into a group that we had, Trevor and his brother David, called Solar Caravan, and Melissa Morgan was in the group when I got back. It was fantastic. Then I hooked up with Onaji Allen Gums and started getting ready for some and I know I'm going to get in trouble for forgetting some names, and I apologize in advance, but I'm trying to go fast because I know we've got limited time. But Mikhail's nightclub, and everybody was up at Mikhail's, including Eric Gale, who I ended up touring with in Europe, and Phyllis Hyman, and anybody, Shaka, everybody came through Mikhail's at one point or another. I'm bad because I'm forgetting it. And then 7th Avenue South, and I started playing with cats like Doc Powell, and Doc and Charlene introduced me to other people, like the Drayton. Charlie Drayton was a slam drummer, and his dad started putting me in commercials like Burger King and Mercury Marquee. We always laugh because I did have a Mercury, but I didn't eat Burger King because I didn't eat meat. And I did the beer commercials. I can't even remember what beer. I didn't drink beer. So it was the funniest thing. I learned, just go sing, you know. And Bernie Drayton said, just sing, dude, just sing. And then I ended up with I moved to Maine. I left and I moved to Maine. And I just want to go back. Now I want to go back and mention all these different names like Yogi Horton and Tinker and all these guys. But anyway, just a ton of New York is like it's like a mecca. It is a mecca of sorts with regards to talent. But I moved away. I moved away to Maine. While I was in Maine, I was at Bowdoin College in a practice room. And I sat down. I've been a fool for you. That's where I put I've been a fool for you, clunking away at the piano. And I had a buddy of mine, Raymond Jones, called me and said, "Hey, man, and I'm flying People's Express back and forth in Manhattan from Brunswick, Maine, Portland, Maine, auditioning for everything that audition for. Luckily, the flights were only $5.50. You know, but Raymond got me out to California, and we wrote a bunch of songs. And he, I didn't even know he was sending them. He sent them, or his manager sent them. They ended up in Teddy Pendergrass's hands. Pendergrass said, "Hey, who is this guy singing his songs? We're waiting, hoping that he actually records the songs himself." But he ended up signing me. But that was my start.
Wow, Teddy Pendergrass, I saw something in you.
Well, but you know what? Ray and I wrote the songs, and Ray made me sing the demos.
Okay. Oh, okay, that was perfect for you. Yeah. See how we talked about timing.
Yeah.
Right?
Hey, yep. I'm going to tell you, be honest with you, Ray Jones is his response. And just for those who don't know Ray, Ray played keyboards in Chic. So while I was in surf, a lot of these cats were back here. Mick Murphy was, oh my God, Mick Murphy from Brooklyn Tech. Vernon Reed from Brooklyn Tech. Trevor Gale from Brooklyn Tech. Ray Jones from Brooklyn Tech. All these guys, and I mentioned Brooklyn Tech, we didn't go to music and art. You dig what I'm saying? We didn't go to in our high school, where all the cats like, you know, Zane and oh my gosh, I mentioned Carlton and oh gosh, there's a whole list of cats that I can't even I'm going blank right now. But they went to music and art. I wanted to go to music. My mother wouldn't even let me audition. You know,
I went
to Brooklyn Tech with my brother. So we came up with a slightly different perspective. But if music is, if it's meant for you, that's where you end up.
Absolutely, and you ended up exactly where you needed to be.
So, I would say Ray is just about as responsible for me having a career as Ben Grant's was.
Right, right. It's true. You know, one of my favorite artists of all time, and we play a lot of her music on Music Massage, is Phyllis Hyman. Tell the audience a little bit about what that experience was like.
School, dude. School. If everything else was undergrad, working with Phyllis was a master's course.
It was
the real world. You know, how do I best say? Not internship, but what? Let's see, what do they call it? When you take off a year from your academic studies and you actually work at a Fortune 500 company or in a law firm or what have you. It's not an internship. What is it?
Apprenticeship.
Say it again.
Apprenticeship.
Okay, let's call it an apprenticeship. Well, here's the deal. It was a learning experience to work with Phyllis because, oh my God, for 2 years, it should be not long enough. She's one of the most talented people I ever worked with, one of the most intelligent people I work with. See, the funny thing about this business is, you know, people recognize your skill set, recognize your talent and your gifts, but I think far too often people overlook intellectual value. And
I
mean, I'm going all the way back. I mean, you can go all the way back to, you know, Marvin Gaye. He didn't write "What's Going On" because somebody tapped him on the shoulder and meant he read it. He wrote it because he read newspapers.
Right.
You know, he wrote it because he was a history buff. He wrote it because he was paying attention. You know, and Phyllis always got on the plane with a newspaper and always had some social commentary, you know, to offer. And working with Eric Gale, it was the most professional organization I had worked with outside of the military up until that time. I mean, it was just like it was a business.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you know what? Let me jump in there with that for a second. You know, when I listen to cats like Tom Jordan and cats like that joking about whatever happened to so-and-so, whatever happened to so-and-so, this one must be flippant, you know, that's got immediately a laugh at. But you know what? As a group, we got to understand that, you know, Luther, Isaac Hayes, Barry White, Teddy Pendergrass, Gerald LaFleur, all these guys represent businesses.
Yeah, okay? Absolutely.
They employ people. Okay, not just bandsmen, but they employ managers, they employ production assistants, they employ bus drivers, they pay studio rehearsal rates, recording studio, engineers, live sound. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on and on. So when something other than obviously when they pass, and that we're losing losing not just an artist, but we're losing a business that fuels our schools, our churches, our dentists, our doctors, and so on. So we better pay attention. And then when someone loses a record deal, or we have people that are later in their career, okay, that can't get a record deal, all right, there's nothing wrong with their voice whatsoever.
Right.
We're not talking about professional athletics where your knees go bad. I'm
right.
talking about when your voice keeps getting better, your stage presence and your confidence and your maturity becomes a part of your product, your presentation, your music. And you're employing people. That's a business. We've got to support these businesses as well. Don't be so fickle. You know, don't be so quick to make a somebody gained a pound, somebody got old. Yeah, you're going to get older too.
Yeah.
You know?
No, absolutely. Absolutely.
I saw Tony Bennett on TV today. I love watching Tony Bennett. I mean, you've got to be kidding. 82 years old.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And guess what? He's still in full voice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw him on Idol last night. Yeah, he was singing with one of the
last night. Exactly. We have to figure out how to support our businesses.
Right.
We just happen to entertain you. That's all. There is.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And, particularly in the African-American community, we need to learn to, support our artists. Like, I saw Regina Bell not too long ago at B.B. King's, and this woman, she was blowing like it was yesterday, and, she came in there and just, tore the house down. So I think that, we need to support, of course, I agree with you, not only the new artists, but definitely, the people who have contributed to music, over a period of time, such as yourself. So it's definitely something that I think is really important. We're at the bottom of the hour. I got to get in a couple of your tracks. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you here, so that you could, talk about some of your music and, have the folks hear your music. Let's, I'm going to let it be your choice. You're going to be Mr. DJ. Let's take your new album, Atenergy. What do you want to play? Come Together or You Are the Sunshine of My Life? Which one do you want to do?
You are the Sunshine is the first single. Let's Run It.
Okay, talk about it really quickly. How did you come about doing that track?
How did you come about doing You Are the Sunshine? You come about growing up on the planet Earth, and you're
That's
a TV1 fan.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
At some point or another, not only do I have to do it, and here's the interesting thing. I'm not trying to sing a TV1 track, okay, because there's still a level of intimidation there. But I think it's more respect. And it took me, in fact, I've got a new vocal CD I also called God's Creation, where I finally decided it was okay to sing a couple of pentagrams tracks. But in terms of singing TV, I mean, that's another thing. So, but I'll do anybody on the violin.
Right, right, right. And folks, you got to check this out. I heard the track today. It was sent over to me. It's an incredible track. And like Miles said, not a lot of vocal on it, just some background stuff. But it's his violin that's talking, So I want you guys to take a listen to this. Also, support the brother. You can get these tracks on iTunes, anywhere that you can download music, buy CDs. That's important. We have to learn to support our artists. But right now, we're going to take a listen to You Are the Sunshine of My Life.
This is my label, Neil. Yeah, they got somebody buy the record.
Absolutely. Here we go. Let's take a listen. Love it, man. Love it. Love it. Love it. Vintage. Vintage Miles J. Talk about the instruments that you played on that project.
Oh, man. You know, come on now. Whatever we heard, I played it. And the funny thing about it is, you know, the technology is available to all of us, but it comes from, you know, growing up musically with cats like, you know, Doc Powell and Ronnie Drayton and, you know, so that when you hear guitar, you know what it's supposed to sound like.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? It's growing up, you know, knowing how Marcus Miller would have laid it down, or just go on down the line, how JT Lewis would have laid it down, Charlie Drayton would have laid it down. Omar Hakim would have laid down the drum track. What, you know, in fact, when I rehearse, I don't even tell cats what to play. I call out names, Harvey Mason, Omar.
Wow.
You know, and some of the cats I don't know, but I know what the cats would have done. So, and if it don't have that thing, you know, if it don't have that thing, when I listen to the playback, then it's like, oh, no, it ain't right yet. You know, I mean, it's not right yet. So,
yep, yep.
Yeah, and then you know, I mean, I like to play those instruments also. So you know, I imagine what it would, you know, if I'm playing the bass line under my fingers, what would I be doing? You know, if my head is supposed to be going up and down, you know, where would the break be? Where would the change be, and so on? So it's just fun, man. And then taking it to the violin.
Yeah, and I love your violin too. I love it. Now you talked about it being on your label.
Neil, before I forget, man, 21 July, bam, Metro Tech, outside, Wednesday, lunchtime. See y'all there.
Nice, definitely. Say it again.
21 July, Wednesday, lunchtime, bam, Brooklyn Academy of Music, Metro Tech. Never been there, but I heard it's kind of, you know, swinging.
Yeah, Brooklyn is a whole different place. When you get down there, you're going to see it's a whole different environment. The stadium is coming up. It's just a whole different place. I don't know when the last time you were in Brooklyn, but it's a whole new thing. It's going to blow your mind if you haven't been in a while.
I know it is, man. I don't even want to say that I'm ready, because you know, I'm ready for a lot of things, but you know, home is just different. You know what I mean?
I mean,
I'm ready to go anywhere, get on a plane, pack a bag, go. But going home, that's just, you know, because that's an experience on so many different levels, man. I can just imagine myself standing downtown in front of Junior's, just like looking up DeKalb Avenue, just tripping. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
It's crazy.
Not
now,
only
man.
Did I go to high school at Brooklyn Tech, but my daughter was born, you know, at the hospital across the street, man. I lived on,
wow.
You know, St. Felix Street and walked from the hospital to St. Felix Street and split for Vegas and then Australia. And I go, oh my God, I can't do this. You know,
yeah,
I quit. I was in the Village People at the time, and I quit, man. I said, my little girl's at home, and I came to make it. I mean, what am I doing over here? That's how I ended up in Maine. I said, I can't do this anymore. This is crazy.
Now, you talked about that your album is on your label. Talk to the, you know, the people on the line right now who are listening, who need to understand the business side of the music industry, and, you know, talk a little bit about how and why, you know, you have your own label and how you're coping in this new world. You know, when we first met, there were records. It went to CD. Well, actually, it was tape decks, you know, 8 tracks, and then it went to records.
Hey,
and
I don't know about 8 tracks, Neil. What are you talking about?
Yeah, you know about 8 tracks.
I don't know 8 tracks. Let's start with cassettes, man.
Cassettes, okay.
The whole cassette CD thing was my first argument at my label, because, interestingly, they wanted to advance to CDs and discontinue cassettes and vinyl.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I said, well, you know, there's a certain socioeconomic impact here where while CD is new technology and everyone's talking about the sonic superiority, much of my base around the country still driving cars with cassette decks in them. Thank you very much. They don't have CD players in their cars yet, you know, and that's where, you know, people listen to music in their cars. They don't have the newest, you know, gear, Bang & Olufsen and Bose and blah, blah, blah. They're still using their Technics, cassette system and are proud of it. You know, a lot of the brothers got systems over in the service and the war brought it back with them, you know, and all of a sudden you're saying, nah, you can't play Miles' music in that. No. So fortunately, we were able to not only continue with some vinyl for our DJs, you know, and for cassettes, because, you know, I still get emails about people who finally wore out their cassette, you know, for Irresistible or whatever, and they need a CD now, you know.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There were two big battles back in that day, and that was about the format and about BET. You know, which, you know, to a lot of folks that were running things was irrelevant because MTV was the order of the day. And, you know, so we had to convince people, well, yeah, but chances are I'm not going to be programmed on MTV. So, you know, we got to get me down there with Donnie Simpson. And then we were able to do that. And you know, so what happens is you pay attention to the industry, you recognize that it is a business. And for me, it's a love-hate relationship because as much as I love music, I despise the business.
Yeah.
And I tell people all the time, the day someone put the word industry after music, the day someone placed the word industry after music was the beginning of the decline of music as an art form. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Me. I don't care.
And no, you're absolutely correct. And that's why I wanted you to talk to the young folks and let them know that they have to be concerned about the business as well. I mean, you started how long has your label been going on right now?
Over 10 years now.
Nice.
Over 10 years now. Yeah. I'm not even paying attention. What is it? Oh, my God. Like 92.
Yeah.
So it's been a little while. You know, but, you know, I make that statement because at some point, probably maybe a decade or so ago, I gave myself permission to be not a recording artist, but an artist. There's a huge difference. Okay? A recording artist is a function of the music industry. Okay? And you're in New York, so I defy you to go up to Lincoln Center and get a program from the ballet or what have you that says the ballet industry. Okay, or go down to Soho and go into the galleries and look at the fine arts industry. I mean, this industry, that did something. It changed something in terms of the mindset and the expectations. And then it created a shelf life. You're no more good. We need a new one of you. Thank you very much. Industry means Henry Ford. Okay,
yeah.
There's an assembly line. And that at some point, you are obsolete. We don't need you anymore. That's what an industry dictates. Art says, as long as you have something to offer that is relevant, you get to play.
I love it. Yeah, absolutely. How are you coping with the new digital stuff, with the tweeting and the social? I mean, you seem to be always keeping up. How are you truly coping with all that?
That is me. I'm lucky. If I'm keeping up, I'm being forced to keep up, man. I don't have time for all that. You know, every time I get a thought, I got to tweet it. You know, and every time I get, you know, come on, man. Yeah, I mean, one of the things I most cherished about this thing, you know, this life is being, you know, living inside my head, you know, when I need to, you know, the quiet time, you know. I mean, I can drive for 6 hours, man, I don't need music to drive, you know, because I'm hearing music. You kidding me? Tweeting, it has its place, okay? Lately, it tends to get more people in trouble than anything else.
That's true.
You know, Facebook. What happened to MySpace or MySpace or MySpace? Whatever happened to that?
That's
so
still around.
This stuff
comes
and goes, and it has its place, and it's cool because it allows contact, you know, between audience and artist. But I'm not sure if it is matured enough so that it really gets us to a place where we're communicating on the right level about the right things. You
true,
know what I mean?
True. I do.
So, you know, I'm watching it. Honest to goodness, I'm leery of it, and I'm not fully invested in it. Technology, where the music is concerned, allows me to do so many different things. I'm writing film scores and And when I say I'm writing them, I don't even have the assignment yet. So, you know, if you're somebody out there, Paul Whitaker, Spike Lee, then any of those guys, you know, we've never heard of yet. Sing, and you need scoring for your upcoming film. I don't care if you're a NYU student or whatever, film student. It's one of the things I do, and I love it. I'm a composer.
Yeah, I'm a composer.
It's not my fault I don't have outlets for my composition.
Right.
It's not my fault Paramount's not calling. Shoot, Island Records. I'm sorry, Island Films didn't even call, and I was one of their artists. So, you know, and the reason is perception. Now, I'm going to do perceptions in a business context. You know, I watched Xerox go from the copier company to the business solution company, and I got it, okay? So that doesn't mean you don't have to make copies anymore. It just says you have to re-identify yourself, you know, and there's a difference between re-identifying yourself and reinventing yourself. I don't do gimmicks.
Yeah.
I don't do gimmicks.
Absolutely. I mean, you've always been up front. You know, you've always kept it real. How do you think that you're going to, or how do you plan on continuing to be able to make a living being the artist that you want to be true to yourself about?
I appreciate the vote of confidence, but I don't think I've made that assertion. I just said I'm going, you know, for every day I wake up, I'm going to do something creative and artistic. That's the deal I made with God and my inner me. You know, there are no conditions. It's not predicated on, you know, a certain level of income and this and that and the other. I would like to eat, and I would like to, you know, have safe and comfortable housing of some sort or another. But I don't really trip about all that. To be honest with you, I trip about what goes on inside of me and how I can best express it and share it. And particularly if it somehow or another benefits somebody else that's that's living on this planet. And I don't care where you're from, because the whole border thing and nationality and blah blah blah, it's a bunch of bunk anyway. So I mean, you know, everybody's got it's God and man. That's it. And obviously, when I say man, I mean mankind.
Absolutely.
Our physical self and our spiritual self. And so I would love to think that with eternity and God's creation and the truth about love, you know, there's some things that touch you somewhere that you really can't define, you know, because it's not important anyway, that makes you, that uplifts you, you know, gets you through another day. That's what my music is for, you know, to present something, to provide something, to help somebody somewhere get through one more difficult minute, hour, day, week, what have you. And if I can do that, man, you know, some of the lyrics, I mean, and understand, these lyrics are given to me, you know. I just sit there and keep my mouth shut, and lyrics, one of the tunes on God's Creation is about, it's a love song about someone who passed away. And I'm like, how could heaven need you more than me? Why couldn't God just wait a while?
Yeah.
I mean, so what I'm saying is there's so many tragedies, whether it's, you know, cancer victims or tornado tsunami victims, or there's so much tragedy. I mean, look at what's going on right now, man. And we're not talking about terrorists, about natural disasters, not in third world countries, here.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Cousins, you got to call cousins, aunts, and uncles and say, y'all okay there in Memphis? Is the river rising fast? Come on,
yep.
Man.
Yep.
I don't even know if I'm going to be able to keep up with the number. In fact, I know I can't even keep up with the songs and the ideas and the thoughts. And they're not genre specific. You know, I want to do all kinds. I want to do rock. I want to do blues. I want to do whatever, you know, because somebody told me however many years ago that this is what I have to do. We call it R&B. I knew then it was a bunch of junk. I don't mean R&B is a bunch of junk. I mean that spiel was a bunch. Who said that's all I can do? You got to be joking.
True. You also have another album called God's Creation. We're kind of running out of time here, Miles. Let's try to fit something else in on your God's Creation. Tell the audience a little bit about that album and what the direction of that is.
Wow, God's Creation. Ooh wee, that's back to singing. That's back to singing, man, but it's just a different – it's singing at this point in my life where I don't feel like I have anything to prove. I don't have to try too hard. You know, I was afraid of singing, man, until, like, I had been doing it for, like, 20 years. And finally I said, "Funk it, man. If I ain't got it right now, forget it."
I know what you mean.
Now I sing because somebody got to sing these words. That's all. So Now this time I'm going to ask you to pick between God's Creation or Close the Door.
I'm going to do Close the Door, you know, because I love God's Creation as well, but Close the Door is something about what you put on that. You know, and many, many years ago, you were often compared to Teddy Pendergrass, and I think the wonderful sign of an artist being able to cover someone else's song is what they bring to it. You know, Luther Vandross, I mean, no one on this planet covered songs better than Luther Vandross. And I think that I want to play Close the Door because I think you do a wonderful rendition of it. You know, the vocals are rich, and I think that, you know, your fan base is really, really going to appreciate that song. So what we'll do is we'll close the door, we'll close the show with that song. but before we do that.
All right, Bob. This has been a treat, man. This has really been a blessing. Thank you.
Yeah, and I want you to just give all of your information, how folks can get in touch with you again.
Okay, well, certainly by my website, milesgate.com. And that's probably the best way, Facebook.com/MilesJ. And, you know, all of the cool ways of reaching folks through Neil's show. However, just reach out. I'll reach back, I promise.
And do you have any other concerts coming up soon?
I'll be in Riviera Beach, Florida. I'll be in Greensboro, North Carolina. I can take out my camera. There's not that much on it, man. So, I mean, why you want to put me on the spot on your show, man?
Well, the thing is, you are doing things, and that's why I wanted to have you on the show today.
I'm blessed.
You know, sure. I just think it's a blessing for anybody on this planet to be able to fulfill their dream, you know. Yes. And like you said, it's not always about the money. You know, everybody's not going to be the $50 million, you know, athlete or entertainer or radio personality or whatever. But I think it's about, you know, sort of what you said, like what you do with your lyrics. It's about touching souls one by one, you know.
And the thing is, the key is, man, you fulfill the dream. God may give me the dream, but you got to fulfill. That's the energy part of Atenergy. Atenergy is that thing that you're focusing on. The energy is what you got to do. What's 1-1? G-1-1. In the beginning, God did something.
That's right.
He said, who he was, whatever. He said he created heaven and earth. Boom. He started off doing something. And that's what we have to do. We're supposed to be like, that's what we got to do. So take that dream, take that idea, that thing you've been meaning to do year after year after year, you've been promising, you've been telling everybody, and do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Just do it. And, Miles, I got to tell you, it's been a pleasure having you here on the show. We got to get you here again. The hour went by so fast.
Anytime, man.
Yeah, I know the fans really enjoyed hearing your voice.
Thank you. This is great.
So we're going to close the door right now with Miles J off of his album God's Creation. Folks, go out and support the project. You know, buy it on iTunes, buy it from his website. We have to support our artists. If you love what he does, then go out and support the music. We're going to close things out with Close the Door. Miles, it's been a pleasure, man.
Love and blessings to all your listeners, man. Thank you and congratulations on your success.
Peace and love. Thank you.
me rub your back where you say it's sore. Come on and get closer and closer, girl. Let's get lost in each other.
At BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best, featuring entertainment, sports, nutrition, Africana studies, holistic healing, and celebrities. Listen to Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, where you'll hear talk radio at its best. Rainbow Soul at BlakeRadio.com, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul.